Will you please be seated? And we come back this evening to Paul's letter to his friends in Thessalonica, a reading from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. Paul preached to the Thessalonians, but he also lived among them. He taught them about following Jesus, and he showed them how. You know what kind of men we prove to be among you for your sake. Those are his words from chapter 1, verse 5. And Paul, as we've already seen, Paul sets before the Thessalonians the power of a godly example. And that theme continues as we move into chapter 2. We're going to read verses 1 through 8 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And this also is the word of our God to be received with joy by the people of God. You yourselves know, brothers, that our coming to you was not in vain, but though we had already suffered and been shamefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we had boldness in our God to declare to you the gospel of God in the midst of much conflict. For our appeal does not spring from error or impurity or any attempt to deceive. But just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak, not to please man, but to please God, who tests our hearts. For we never came with words of flattery, as you know, nor with a pretext for greed. God is witness. Nor did we seek glory from people, whether from you or from others, though we could have made demands as apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, like a nursing mother taking care of her own children. So, being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you had become very dear to us. That's God's word. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for the tenderness with which Paul addresses his friends in Thessalonica, and we see reflected in that the tenderness with which you address your people. And so we pray tonight that we would hear your voice, that our hearts might be glad, and that we might rejoice that we have a gracious Heavenly Father who knows our needs and who generously provides for us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Studies show that if you live near the exit to an interstate, you are more liable to be robbed. The Thessalonians lived on the Ignatian Way, which was the I-95 of the age, the I-95 of first century Macedonia, and they must have been well used to all the rogues and scammers and con men and scoundrels and tricksters and all the rest of them that would have traveled along the Ignatian Way seeking to take advantage of those whom they encountered. And it would have been very easy for Paul's critics to have labeled Paul as one of those scammers or con men who was in it for what he could get out of it. And after all, we know that Paul didn't stick around long in Thessalonica, and we know that he left in a hurry by night, and so there was plenty of ammunition for Paul's critics. But Paul writes to the Thessalonians, and he says, "You yourselves know, brothers, that our coming to you was not in vain." Now, we might take those words as meaning that Paul's visit to them was a fruitful visit. The Lord prospered his ministry. There's no question that is true. But the Greek word for vain is the word empty. Paul, it would seem in context, is saying he didn't show up as someone who had nothing, seeking to gain and profit from those to whom he ministered in Thessalonica. On the contrary, Paul came among them to sacrifice. He came among them not to take, but to give, and he gave sacrificially. In verse 8, we hear him say, "We were ready to share not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves." Paul modeled for the Thessalonians a vital Christian life lesson. Christians share. Christians are people who are learning to share. And Paul sets a positive example of Christian sharing, and he alludes to that in the verses that we have before us this evening. In verses 1 and 2, Paul teaches us about the hurt that involves. In verses 3 through 6, he talks about the honesty that it requires. And then in verses 7 and 8, he describes the heart that's displayed in Christian sharing. And these are good things for us to learn from. And the first thing, as I say, Paul tells us in verses 1 and 2 that if you are committed to sharing, if you share, you run the risk of being hurt. Sharing is personal. It involves putting yourself out there. It involves moving beyond a protective posture. It involves moving outside of a comfort zone, because if you share, you run the risk of being hurt. And so if we're self-protective, if we're risk-averse, we're not going to share. And Paul makes no bones about his own experience. Listen to verse 2. He says, though we had already suffered and been shamefully treated in Philippi, as you know, we had boldness in our God to declare to you the gospel of God in the midst of much conflict. Paul was able to remind the Thessalonians that before he came to them, while he was in Thessalonica, he wasn't just badly treated, he was shamefully treated. Luke describes it for us in Acts chapter 16. Paul was flogged. Paul was treated unjustly. He was thrown in prison. He was shamefully and disgracefully treated because he desired to minister the gospel to the Thessalonians. Did he give up? No. He made his way down the road to do the same thing in Thessalonica. Now, sometimes we imagine that Paul and the other apostles were somehow different from us, but that's not the case. Paul was human, just as you and I are. We imagine sometimes that the abuse, the mistreatment, the injustice just bounced off Paul. We imagine that the apostles had leathery skins, that their backs were tough like tortoise shells, that they didn't have a lot of nerve endings, that they had remarkable powers of recuperation. But no, the apostles hurt, bruised, and bled just as you or I would do. And psychologically, we might suppose that maybe they're impervious to cruel words and slanderous accusations and false allegations and cruel lies. But that's not the kind of Paul that we meet in Scripture. Paul was someone who was profoundly and painfully impacted by the attacks that were brought against him. And of course, so also the Lord Jesus, because the Lord Jesus, as you know, suffered not just physically, but psychologically. Luke tells us that being in agony in the garden, Jesus prayed more earnestly. His sweat became as great drops of blood falling down to the ground. The Lord Jesus, who came into the world to give himself, to share himself, in order that you and I might have salvation. Jesus hurt. Jesus suffered physically, psychologically, and Paul experienced, and you remember how Paul speaks of making up the sufferings of the Lord Jesus. Paul experienced hurt, sharing hurts. And we might say, well, Paul, aren't you afraid that you're going to discourage the Thessalonian Christians from sharing? Are you going to discourage the Christians at Knox from sharing? And of course, we know that the Lord Jesus sets us the example. Peter says, to this you have been called. Remember his words in 2 Peter 2, verse 21. To this you have been called, that as Christ suffered, he left you an example that you also might follow in his steps. Paul, going on in verse 2, says, we had a boldness in our God. They could run Paul out of town, as they did in Philippi and other places, but they couldn't dislodge him from the place that he occupied in God's care, in God's favor, in God's grace. You have died. You have died, says Paul in Colossians 3, verse 3, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Those who would share are constantly dying to self, but our lives are hidden with Christ in God. Remember the psalmist in Psalm 18, speaking of God, my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, the one in whom I take refuge, my shield, the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. In the face of difficulty and hurt, the psalmist recognized God as his protector, his refuge. And Paul says that in spite of what happened in Philippi, in spite of painful, hurtful treatment, we picked ourselves up and came with confidence in God to proclaim the gospel with boldness to you. And let me encourage you tonight. Some of you have been hurt because you've shared. Some of you have extended your hand and had your fingers bitten. Some of you have put yourselves out there and been rebuffed. Some of you have been discouraged by the responses that you've got. And yes, it hurts. Paul says, sharing hurts. Keep on doing it. Not just what Paul did, but what the Lord Jesus did. Jesus gave of himself. It's going to take honesty, and Paul talks about that in verses 3 through 6. If you're going to share in the kind of Christian way that Paul models and that Jesus exemplifies, it's going to take honesty. Paul invites us to search our hearts, because Paul didn't share in order to profit from it. He's not like those other rogues and rascals that made their way along the Ignatian Way and came off at the exit at places like Thessalonica to try and rip off those who were gullible. No, Paul's desire was not to profit from others. Paul's desire was to honor the Lord Jesus and to serve others. He talks about that. Verse 3, he says, we made no attempt to deceive you. What you see is what you got. And of course, here in Thessalonica, as in other places, Paul was contrasting himself with those polished orators who would come looking to line their pockets from their speaking or preaching ministry. Paul says, no, we make no attempt to deceive. There's no ulterior motive, he says in verse 4. No, Paul says, we're subject to God's scrutiny. We've been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. The word approved, it's the idea of being vetted. There's election season, we talk about vetting. People are vetted. Paul says, we've been vetted by God. We've been scrutinized by God. God searches our hearts. Paul is the faithful steward. We talked about that this morning in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, where Paul speaks about the faithful steward, his responsibility as a servant of the Lord Jesus. And Paul says, we speak not to please men, verse 4, not to please man, but to please God, the one who tests our hearts. Paul's prayer was the prayer of the psalmist in Psalm 139. Search me, O God, and know me. Try my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any grievous way in me. If you're going to be a Christian sharer, learning from Paul, modeling the Lord Jesus, if you're going to share, you and I need to be searching our hearts, because it's very tempting for us to say, well, what do I get back from my service? How does this profit me? And in verses 5 and 6, we discover that Paul was freed up to share without always checking in to see if he was being properly rewarded. Verse 5, we never came with words of flattery, as you know, nor with a pretext for greed. God is witness, nor did we seek glory from people, whether from you or from others, though we could have made demands as apostles of Christ. Paul, you see, was freed from the attitude that says, if I give this, what am I going to get back in return? What will be an appropriate reward? What will be an appropriate remuneration? The sharing that Paul is speaking of here, the sharing that Christians learn, is not a sharing that calculates what return will I get from this. Sharing, it's very inefficient if we were to characterize it in worldly terms, because we give, we expend, we sacrifice, we put ourselves out there. And if we're always looking for an appropriate, a proportionate reward, well, we're not serving from the right motive. We give freely. Jesus says to us in Matthew's Gospel 10, verse 8, freely you have received, freely give. You see, the Lord Jesus has given to us freely, generously, lavishly. And as Jesus speaks to the disciples in that verse, Jesus is telling the disciples that their sharing, their giving, their service is not the kind of service that's calculating, what will I get back from this? No, Jesus says, you've received freely, give freely. And the Lord Jesus has blessed us freely. We have done nothing to merit or to earn or to deserve what Jesus gives to us. He gives us life in its fullness. And Jesus says, out of the fullness of that life, then give freely. Serve your brothers and sisters. And yes, you may look at the brother or sister and say, if I do this for them, how will they pay me back? And don't make that calculation. Just serve them because you're serving the Lord Christ. Remember Paul's words in Colossians 3, where he says, serve wholeheartedly as those who are serving the Lord Christ, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. We can afford to give of ourselves because eternity awaits, and the Lord Jesus is no one's debtor. We sing, "Where the whole realm of nature mine." That would be an offering far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Paul invites us to honest soul searching. What are our motives? Those who have learned to share in a biblical way, don't make those kinds of calculations. And so in verses 7 and 8, Paul talks about the heart that sharing displays. What does it all look like? And Paul showed the Thessalonians. He didn't just preach to them about sharing and about Christian sacrifice and Christian. He showed the Thessalonians. Listen to verses 7 and 8. We were gentle among you, like a nursing mother taking care of her own children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you have become very dear to us. And there's a model of Christian maturity and Christian leadership. Paul didn't use his apostolic bully pulpit. He could have made demands because he was an apostle. He chose not to do that. He chose rather to give of himself. He says, we were like a nursing mother taking care of her children. Unfortunately, there are, and we talked about leaders in the church this morning, there are those who abuse, there are those who dishonor the Lord Jesus by seeking to get for themselves. Paul says, we didn't abuse, we didn't mistreat, we didn't extort, we were like nursing mothers, gentle, tender, giving of our very selves. Who more sacrificial than the nursing mother who gives of her own substance to the child who is so helpless? Paul says, we took care of you. The word, it's only used once in the New Testament. It's a word that's used to describe the way a mother bird looks after her chicks, enfolding the chicks, feeding the chicks. It's the kind of care that's exemplified not just by Paul or by the nursing mother. It's the kind of care that's exemplified by the Lord Jesus. Jesus spoke to lamented the hardness of heart of the people of Jerusalem. He said, I long to take you under my wings like a mother bird caring for her chickens, but you would have nothing of it. By God's grace, we have a better spirit than those hard-hearted ones in Jerusalem because we recognize Jesus as the one who gives freely. He gives us life. The salvation that we have in Jesus is a salvation purchased to Jesus' own hurt. It's a salvation purchased by a Savior who comes with the sincerest of motives, desiring to honor his heavenly Father by redeeming a people to the praise of his glorious grace. It's a salvation that is accomplished in a spirit of giving to those who are utterly undeserving, to those who are utterly helpless, and who gratefully receive the grace and the salvation that Jesus provides, because we see in the Lord Jesus an affectionate desire. Paul speaks of an affectionate desire that he had for the Thessalonians. Paul's affectionate desire is but a shadowy reflection of the affectionate desire that the Lord Jesus has for those whom he has redeemed. The Savior who came not only preaching the gospel, the Savior who gave his own self. Because we, unworthy though we are the object of his love, his affection, and his salvation. And Jesus teaches us how to share sacrificially to our own hurt,
to the glory of God. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for what we have reflected upon. We ask that you would give us grace to put into practice these things of which we have been speaking. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.